collectors nationwide and abroad, it's time to get hype.
Come on.
About the hobby we are all a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everyone? Thought I told you that we wouldn't stop. This is episode 112, where the players dwell. And we're here to talk about all kinds of stuff today. We got Luka, we got PSA versus BGS, we got the last 5 years of quarterbacks. We're going to talk about that. And it's going to be a fun episode, guys. Check it out, mojobreak.com for your breaks. We're going to be rocking some hoops today. We got brand new Dynasty. We've got Flawless on Friday. Man, there's so much going on in this hobby. It's going to make my head explode. So, but check it out. Follow us on Instagram, mojobreak_com, where we post our amazing hits. Also, same thing on Twitter. And if you're listening to the podcast, we also have a video version of the show on YouTube. So some of the things may not make sense audio-wise. So check that out on YouTube. And if you're busy at the gym and you want to listen to something, you can listen to the audio version if you miss an episode. And we've got, like we said, we're on episode 112. We got 111 other ones to listen to. So
we got more than that. You can go way back in the archives.
You could, yeah. We've got all kinds of stuff.
You can do a little Sports Card Live. You can do the original Mojo Break podcast.
The original.
The OG.
So C-Rad checked out the new Chase Center Arena for the Warriors that just opened up this year. What did you think, man? State of the art?
Yeah, arena-wise, yeah, it is definitely state of the art. It looks super nice in there. The outside is nice. Yeah, everything about that arena's you could tell they put a lot of work into that one. Everything is brand new.
I know Dame doesn't like it.
Yeah. Dame's not a big fan.
Yeah, he came out talking some mess about it.
Oh, he did. Well, because he's from Oakland. Well, he's not even from Oakland. He's from Alameda, but yeah,
he's like he just didn't have a lot of good things to say about it. Mm. And it was actually, I was like, well, of course he's gonna say that because he just lost. But it was before the game.
Yeah, in the moment.
It was before the game.
If he would have scored, if he scored 50 points, he might be like, I love it.
He didn't like it out of the gate. He was like, nope, don't like it.
Move back.
Warriors may want to move back.
Yeah, everything's nice but the team right now. But hey, we're taking a year off, right? So anyways, let's get right into some of the stuff that's going down. Hoops NBA. There's been no bigger year for hoops right now with the Zion Mania. So that product dropped today, and we've already done one case of it. We've got more cases today, but you're looking at two autos, 24-pack box, 8 cards a pack, and all the new rookies in their NBA uniform. So that is the first card on the NBA market with Zion in his NBA uniform, Rui Hachimura, John Moran, RJ Barrett, all these cats in their NBA uniform. And it's delivering, so some nice stuff. I mean, there's some questionable vet autos, but I don't think you're buying that product for the vet autos. What did you think about it, Dan?
I liked it. The mock that you're showing there is nothing like...
That's actually a live card somebody pulled today.
Is it?
Yes.
I did not see any design that looked like that.
It must be extremely hard to hit. So what we're looking at is a on-card Zion Ja Morant.
But I'm talking about the straight Zion to the left.
Yeah, that's in there, but those are probably really hard to hit.
I did not see any subset that looked like that, but okay, all right.
What do you think, C-Rad, about having on-card autos and hoops?
Adds a nice little chase to the product.
Yeah.
I think they needed a little something, right, to just... Usually, we all, as collectors, we all know what hoops is. So them adding an on card this year, and it is probably very, very like high, SP chase. So
yeah, those mock-ups kind of look like Court Kings.
They do. They're going with the I think the artist. I think they call it the signature art design. So it definitely is Court King-esque. Probably had the guy that was working on Court Kings maybe develop this subset. C-Rad, on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard are your nipples getting ready for hoops today?
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yes.
Whew, baby. 5.
Okay.
I get it. When we're talking hoops over here. We're talking hoops.
We are talking hoops.
Me, personally, I say it all the time on the feed where we're breaking cards. I tell people I love hoops as a product to, like, open for myself or, maybe, like, a couple personals here and there. But as a breaking product, it's tough. You know what I'm saying?
It is on the tougher side, and there's not many breakers that are willing to just dig through the trenches
yep.
and do 10 box breaks of hoops. Like we, you know, some of the guys we know, the guys over at MojoBreak.com.
We used to do 20.
We used to do full cases, but then there was, you had to take a week off. You maybe on the injured reserve. The fingers weren't going to work. So, but Panini did us a favor, and they've got hoops coming out on Wednesday, and then they went opposite on us, and they've got 18-19 Flawless coming out on Friday. So two polar opposite brands, really, yep. And the last 18-19 release of the season. And it's a good time because both, you know, some of these rookies are really, really performing well. You know, of course, Luka and Trey. And so we can chase their true RPAs with the game-used patches in there. So it'll be the only product with game-used rookie patches for the year. So, and the hype is incredible. And I think I got some images of in the next slide of some Flawless stuff that Panini's previewed. Actually, there's another Hoops auto of Zion. But Flawless, and they've got those diamonds. Did they do the showing in the screen here? There's a logo man with a bunch of diamonds in it, one of one. Have they done that for basketball?
I don't think so.
No.
So that's the first time, I think, right?
Yeah.
So the multi-gem. I don't know if there's a player on the back of that
Hope
or
so.
Not. Yeah, so.
Hope so.
It's a lot of $20 diamonds in there, man.
I remember the first year they did the NFL Shield diamonds. There were players on the back, so hopefully there are players on the back.
That's what I'm thinking. So that's what we're wondering to see. They also have, did I show it in the next slide? I didn't. But there's a Larry O'Brien trophy diamond card.
Ooh,
too.
That's pretty cool. I haven't seen that one. Is that a new preview?
Yeah, it was on. I think it was on their Instagram page. Instagram's kind of misleading because it shows you one photo, and then you have to kind of click through. If you're just looking casually, you don't know that there's more photos in each post. But you got the logo man chase, as shown here in the Trae Young. I'm assuming that's going to be game worn because they're touting this release as well, the first game worn rookie patch auto. So that 101 Trae Young might be the only rookie game worn logo man that was ever made. Mm-hmm. So. And you got the logo man chase with Kevin Garnett. You got some Charles Barkley, got all the legends in there too. So this is going to be crazy. And the box prices and the case prices are higher than they've ever been before. Ever. Not even close. Blowout is retailing cases for $4,200. That is literally nuts. That's even more reasons to get into breaks because, you know, $4,200, how many cases are going to be winners at $4,200?
Nah.
What's the ratio?
Mm.
He said, Dan just said nah.
Nah. Real, you want me to be real?
Yeah.
You want to be real with it?
Mm-hmm. I want to hear the real deal, Holyfield.
I think best case scenario, 9 out of 10, you're not going to get your money back.
Okay. So you're saying
10%. 10%
of the time.
1 out of 10. I mean, you would have to see, we know how Flawless a lot of times breaks down. If you get a Trae Young in one side, you're probably not going to get a Luka as well.
Right.
You're probably going to get a cheaper vet or legend
like
auto.
Like a Kyrie or something.
Like a Kyrie, Magic Johnson, David Robinson, Karl Malone, one of those guys. I mean, the only way to really, I mean, if you were to get briefcase, like cases that are going to have a Luka and a Trey, then yeah, you're probably going to, 9 out of 10 times is going to be the opposite. You're going to make money.
Right.
But at that price point, it's too high of a risk. That's this is a breaking product.
It is. I mean, Flawless.
Let's not sugarcoat it. This is made to be digested in breaks.
Flawless was created in 1213. That was the first time it came out, and that was right at the beginning of the breaking craze. And most of those, including ourselves, were buying cases and breaking cases. So it wasn't created when, you know, in 03, 04, or anything like that. So.
Even I remember the first year it came out, we still weren't sure that the price point that people were going to be into it.
Yeah, we were very reluctant.
We went light. I think we only did like 2 or 3 cases of it.
Yeah.
Because we were like, I don't know if the market can handle this type of release.
Right.
Fast forward, you know, 5 years, 6 years, and you have, you know, Topps Transcendent. It's $25,000 a box.
Were you guys having the same conversation for Eminence basketball?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Eminence, we were convinced that nobody would buy it at that price point.
Yeah.
Not like, hey, let's give it a shot. Because if I'm not mistaken, we did pre-order a case.
I think we had two.
We pre-ordered 2 cases, and I think Doug and I opened up a case because we were not sure if we would be able to sell it.
And they kind of, I mean, looking back on it now, they picked the 14-15 rookie class to do it. There could have been so many. I mean, we're talking about eminence here, guys. Some of you guys that are new in this hobby, you can Google it.
We're looking for that Wiggins.
Yeah, it was Wiggins. It was, I don't even think, that was, I don't
he
think
was
it,
like literally the only rookie I don't that
think,
was in there.
Yeah, maybe Embiid Jabari. wasn't in there. Yeah, I think Jabari was in there. So there really wasn't a lot of chase. I mean, they probably could have done it 17-18. They probably could have done it 18-19, and it would have been fine. But it was kind of a one and done for them. We may see it resurface.
No, they brought it back.
Well, they got Kobe Eminence.
They brought it back.
But they had a really bad idea with
that. They loved you like Kobe.
They loved you like Kobe.
They love you like Kobe.
Yeah, we had to take some of that stuff too. So before we move on to the PSA, we got a kind of an interesting segment with some numbers on PSA versus BGS coming up in regards to Luka. But before we move on from Flawless, and we're talking 18-19 Flawless that comes out on Friday, we know NT, National Treasures, RPAs, are king. But being the fact that they're touting these as the first game-worn patch auto rookies, do you think they get close? What do you guys think? Do you think are they going to sell for half the amount of the RPAs from NT? We know historically, yes, right? But what do you think? I know you're trying to get rid of that thing, huh?
Yep, the bottom is.
I know. Maybe they did an update on that Google slide thing. I don't know.
It's annoying. Right.
Sorry, guys. We're going to have to look at the dashboard part of the slides there if you're watching the video. But yeah, C-Rod, what do you think? Do you think because it's game worn? I mean, if you look, thinking about it, a game worn rookie patch auto should sell for a player sell for more than a player worn. Mm-hmm. But what do you think it's going to be? 50% of the RPAs? 25% of the RPAs?
I don't know the exact percentage where it's going to land. I will say that I do believe it's going to go for more than the Immaculate one. But yeah, it won't go for as much as the NT. So I'll say, if I just had to guess, 75% of the NT RPAs.
So if so, you're saying like the NT RPA sells for 10 grand, then it should go for 2,500? Or the other way around? 7,500? Okay.
About seven.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I would actually say 40%.
40%?
I think in theory people should put more value on the fact that they are game used. Flawless. If you look at Flawless in the past, they go for about the same amount as Immaculate RPAs.
Right.
For whatever reason, I don't know why the Flawless RPAs have not translated to collectors. It's like the third or fourth RPA on the list that you would want out of the highest end product. And being game used, I don't get it.
Panini doesn't also help themselves because they or the product doesn't help itself because they don't differentiate which one is the true RPA.
Right, right. They have a couple different versions.
Yeah.
Now, are the diamonds, the rookie diamonds, which are typically numbered to 20, I don't know if they're doing it number 25 this year, but will the diamonds sell better than the RPAs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You think so? Yes. I think so too. I think the diamonds will outsell the RPAs. They historically do.
I think the diamonds are actually what drives Flawless. It's what separates it from the other ultra premium high end products
that
they release. So I mean,
which is crazy to think about that there's no autograph, there's no jersey, and there's literally a $20 diamond in that card. So it's literally a base card with a $20 diamond on it. And it's highly collectible, especially from the basketball perspective.
And then tell me why a silver prism
or a galactic
sells for a bunch of money, and we're just talking cardboard. Has no diamond, bro. Right.
I know.
It's got no bling.
Well, but the diamond will sell for more than the silver. But if you want to talk about like a mosaic or something.
No, I'm talking about like just a silver prism.
Right, silver.
We're talking cardboard.
We're talking cardboard, which is, you know what, a great segue into this next segment. We're going to talk about Luka Doncic. And this guy has literally debunked everything that we've been talking about for basketball rookies for the last 3 years.
Told you that boy hot.
And we're going to try to put it in perspective. We're going to try to figure out why. Because this guy, if you look back in 16-17, you had Ben Simmons. You had his prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he basically got hurt, and his prices dipped. His prices were not the same that they were on his rookie year. Then you go 17-18, and you have Tatum. You have Donovan Mitchell. And their prices dipped.
Lonzo. Crazy.
Their prices dipped compared to their rookie year, even though they were playing better. Donovan Mitchell arguably had a better season his second year than he did in his rookie year. So Luka, you would think, would follow the same trend, especially because you have Zion coming in. You thinking Luka's, and we talked about this how many times, that Luka's prices are insane and they're going to go down. No, they've gone up. And why? Why is it?
I actually
I can't figure it out.
I wasn't even saying that like it was going to be mostly because of Zion. I thought because he has Kristaps and they're going to have to share the load when it comes to scoring.
Right.
So I figured his numbers would be way down than they were last year because, you know, Kristaps has to get his.
Right.
But they're not. Like his numbers are pretty damn good.
They're actually way better than they were last year.
He liked them triple doubles.
And we mentioned on the last episode on how many dang silvers were in the pop registry. So silver prisms were double for Luka's year, for Luka's cards, compared to the years before. They're double, but people don't care. There's too much demand for Luka out there, and I can't wrap my finger around it. I know he's a great player, but I mean, the Mavericks are 4-2. That could be helping out, but you're looking at a PSA silver is going for 1,000. Gem 10 PSA silver, 1,000. BGS 9.5 going for 600. So these were around 400 to 500 when we were talking about the hype last year. We were thinking they were going to be 200 to 300 come, you know, 19-20 season. No, they've doubled. So, and that's what I love about this hobby. It's unpredictable. You can't put a finger on what people want. You can sit there and try to speculate on what people are going to do. Do you guys think that Zion's injury is pushing collectors back over to Luka? Do you think if Zion was out killing it, we wouldn't see these prices for Luka?
Yeah, I think it's solely based on his stats.
Yeah, I think it's just based on what Luka's doing.
I mean, look what he's doing. It's not like he's not performing.
Right.
Mitchell was
performing all year and his prices didn't go up.
I think Mitchell.
So that theory is that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I think Mitchell was playing well his sophomore year, but I don't think he was playing any better than he was his rookie season, stat wise.
All of his stat categories went up by at least one last year.
But do people?
But he did come out soft at the beginning. Did people forget about him?
Do people look at Mitchell and say Mitchell's the type of player that there's a lot of players in the league that are like him? Like
maybe
where you look at Luka and you're like,
he's unique.
He's unique. He does a little bit of everything. I mean, Mitchell isn't as big. Mitchell's going to be your typical guard, where Luka's not your typical guard, but he shoots and he does everything. So I don't know. You got to say that Mitchell's on a better team. Right? I mean, maybe
the Jazz and the Mavericks, they got to be pretty comparable. They've got to be. I mean,
I would say on paper, Jazz is a way better team.
The Jazz. Yeah, what were the Jazz last year? Fourth seed, fifth seed.
They were like third or fourth.
Third or fourth, something like that. Mm-hmm. What seed were the great? I know, that's my point exactly. So
how do you wrap your finger around where to? You know, what's going to be the next guy? It's totally unpredictable. Bus in the chat says international and Jazz market. I don't know. I mean, I know Dallas is. I mean, Dallas Cowboys and stuff like that. But I've never felt like the Mavericks have ever been a team. I mean, even Dirk's cards, they started kind of going up towards the end of his career, but after the championship, I don't really think that Dirk's cards went up too much. Is Luka going to be better than Dirk? I mean, he has more flash. So, I mean, I'm not saying don't collect Luka, but I'm just surprised at the uptick in his prices. I mean, it's insane.
I mean, yeah, the safe thing that everybody was doing was that most people assumed his prices would go down his sophomore year because.
But he came out, and I think his rookie season, he surprised everybody, like out of the gate, how well he was playing, how many points he was putting up, everything, right? Comes out his sophomore year, you know, you figured that people may have figured out how to defend him, and you go into that sophomore slump, but he comes in, he's just like triple double after triple double.
And they're winning.
So I think that is based where their market value is. He's performing way better than he was last year, and he was a surprise last year.
Right. I was also making the statement off air, which I'll bring on to the air, is this industry as a whole, the hobby, talking about all sports, kind of popped in 18, right? So we had, I think the beginning of it was Shohei Ohtani for baseball. It was kind of the beginning of the uptick in everything that was happening in this hobby. So a lot of these guys that are collecting Luka kind of jumped in during Luka hype. Mm-hmm. So is that the case that people like, you know, hey, I didn't collect when Mitchell and Tatum were rookies, or I didn't collect when Simmons was a rookie, but I got in 18 and I collected Luka, so I'm still trying to chase Luka. Could that be a possibility that the hobby as a whole got bigger right around the right time when Luka was
kinda
popping?
You kind of latch onto what you were chasing when you first got in.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if it's something that you couldn't get when you first, because the prices were too high, and then you ended up getting it, or you ended up, you know, selling some stuff to get money to get it. So, I mean, you always, it's like
kind of like the 89 Griffey theory, like, where people
like,
are still going.
Yeah, you still, it's like your first crush, man. You go back. You're just like, I want that. Mm-hmm. That's my jam.
Yeah, right. I definitely agree with that. I think as the hobby and the community grows, there's more people, obviously, eyes on the hobby. And the people will grab, you know, people will go towards whatever sport they see there's money in, right? A lot of people who maybe just got in because of baseball or football will start looking at the basketball market like, oh, the Zion thing is happening right now. So right now, that's the same thing is happening.
Right.
But you look at Luka and you look at Zion. About Trey, man. Guy's putting up numbers.
He is.
And his cards are going up.
His cards are going up, too.
They're not going up Luka. But
I would say the whole hobby uptick was started before even Shohei. I'll say it started with Patrick Mahomes, dude.
Well, that's the thing. I'm glad you mentioned that, because you're right. But during Patrick Mahomes' rookie year, he wasn't hot.
No, he wasn't hot during that year.
But I think come 18, you had, like you said, you had Patrick Mahomes, which was a great point, and you had Shohei Ohtani at the same time. And then you had, you know, Luka coming in, and then you had Vlad Guerrero, and then you had Soto, and then you had Acuna, and you have Baker Mayfield last year, which I know he's not doing great now, but you had just all this, or I guess you could even kind of go back to the end of the baseball season with Judge, too.
See, I 17 it's with hard, Judge. It's hard for me to, like, wrap my head around the whole deal, because you bring up Baker, and Baker's having an off year, and everybody is trashing on Baker. I get it. I never thought he was going to be that good in the first place.
A humble
but,
brag there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. But Lamar Jackson just got done beating Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. He ain't selling for what Baker Mayfield was selling for at the end of last year.
No, not even close.
What's up with that? The Ravens are going to make the playoffs. The you look at teams going against Lamar Jackson, they can't figure out how to stop him. At no point were you watching a Browns game last year and you're just like, Baker Mayfield he can't be stopped. Nobody right. can figure it out.
Right. And we do have a football segment coming up, but it's a good, and it's a fair point to bring up. But Russell Wilson doesn't sell. So if you want to categorize Lamar Jackson's style as close to a Russell Wilson, that might dictate why he doesn't sell well.
I think Russell Wilson is playing out of his mind. He's probably going to be the MVP. I don't know why Russell Wilson doesn't sell for as much as Mahomes or any of the other quarterbacks, right. Aaron Rodgers, like anybody. But Lamar Jackson, I think, is more of a weapon than Russell Wilson.
He's bigger. He's got a bigger arm.
You can't show me a team that completely shuts him down.
Right. And this is back on, and we're going to get into a PSA versus BGS, which is my mind has been blown for a couple reasons. First off, if you want to go back to that last slide, optic hollows of Luka are absolutely popping. They are the same price as silvers at this moment. So I'm talking about the Donruss Optic hollows.
Silver prisms from Optic.
Yeah, the silver prism. There's no ink on them or anything. So I think what people are realizing, and what kind of made sense to me, is there's probably 50% less of the Optic hollows, because they didn't make 17 different versions of Optic. They only made a couple. So there's probably a lot less on the pop report of hollows. So that's interesting, but what I wanted to point out here is that the Optic Holo PSA sells for $1,000. The Optic 9.5 for BGS sells for about $400. The trend has completely switched. You know, a year ago, we'd tell you when we had a BGS PSA segment, modern BGS. That's what we tell everybody. Modern is BGS.
Yeah.
Modern's BGS. Anything 82 and older is PSA. Not anymore. I don't know what it is about BGS. People are not really spending as much money on BGS 9.5s compared to the PSA 10s. And I did some research on multiple different sports. So this is our next segment, PSA versus BGS. So, and I stole this from somebody, so I apologize. I'll give you credit later. I found it on the internet. I was like, cool, that's exactly what I'm trying to talk about.
Can I just put in my quick thoughts?
Yeah, yeah.
I've been thinking a lot myself recently, like if I were to send in cards just on my own, I've been thinking like, I don't know, for me personally, and this is what people must be feeling too, like if it's like a non-auto type card, like just the vintageness of PSA. I feel like a non-auto, like a base card, I would rather send it to PSA and try to get a PSA 10. That's just how I've been feeling. Like with if I were thinking about
as opposed cards. To the autograph card, go to BGS.
Yeah, if I had like an auto. Yeah, if I had like an auto type card, like, but if it's just like a base silver, optic hollow, whatever, galactic, I'm like, I kind of want to send it into PSA, and I don't. That's just something I've been feeling without even knowing about this debate, like knowing that PSAs are selling for more than Beckett on the base cards.
Well, and there's a couple reasons why that I've tried to digest on why. And we'll go in the next slide. I got some numbers here for some cards. So first off, we got a LeBron James, just 2003 Topps Chrome, which is the 03-04 Topps Chrome, his rookie. And if you look at a PSA 10 Gem Mint, it's about $2,000 is going rate at this moment, $2,000 for a base rookie. The BGS 9.5 is $1,200, so it is almost 50% more for that there LeBron card. So then you go to the next slide. I believe I did it on Refractors. I did Wander Franco. So this is an auto card. So Gem 10 goes for $800 Wander Franco. This is the Bowman Chrome first auto base and 5.10 BGS. So even baseball is kind of trending towards PSA. So. Couple different, you know, interesting thoughts, and I don't know, my take on it after thinking about it is PSA's had the same looking slab forever. BGS, they can't figure out how to get it right. They've had subgrades, they've had no subgrades, they have all the different colors and stuff like that. If you go to the next slide, this is all an autograph card over the years. They had the 9.5 with the 10 on the back of the Bowman's Best. Then they had it on the front. And then they decided they're going to do it without subgrades. So if you're flipping through your box of cards and you like uniformity, if you're OCD, BGS is going to drive you nuts if you have a graded card box.
Damn, because that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Everything is just – and then if you have an 8, it's silver. And if you have a lower than an 8, it's white. And you know, if you're flipping through a PSA box, regardless if it's 8, 9, or 10 – they're all uniform. They all look exactly the same. I think Dan's chomping at the bit. He's got something to say, so I'm gonna let him talk.
Yeah. Okay. So I get what you're saying with the BGS slabs, the writing, the signage.
Gets kind of messy.
The
man.
Inconsistency. I get it. PSA slabs. Get what you're saying. They've always been the same. They've always looked really shitty. So. At least they've kept that the same. They've consistently looked like shit.
I don't know.
No.
I used to think that way, Dan.
No. It look. Hold the BGS slab. Hold it in your hand.
Uh-huh.
Feels like something. It is solid. The PSA, thin, janky, just doesn't look as good. Not as sleek. The printing looks cheap, looks like a dot matrix printer back in the day.
Okay.
Just not as pleasing to the eye. That's it. But I mean, I get what you're saying about the inconsistencies with the tags that they put in there. Also, if we're going to pick on BGS, they use terrible glue. For where when they put the badge in there, I don't know how many times I've had it fall into the slab.
Yes.
So you sit there and you like try to get it back centered into it. It's terrible. I don't know why. I don't know why that happens, but it almost ruins the fact of getting your card slabbed when the thing's shaking around in there. It's weak.
Shake it like a salt shaker.
But that's pretty much it. That's my two cents.
Well, and I like what C-Rad brought up the point because you don't have to deal with the subgrades on a base card too. So that's why the Topps Chromes are selling for more of the LeBrons. You don't have to deal with the 0.5s. You don't have to deal with the subgrades. It's just 10, 9, and 8. And I think BGS kind of screwed themselves over by introducing the black label. So now the 9.5 should be equivalent to an 8, right? If you think about The top three grades for PSA is a 10, 9, and an 8. The top three grades for BGS is black label, pristine 10, and then a 9.5. So I think collectors are playing it safe. You're more likely to get a PSA 10 to 100 times over before you get a black label. You're never going to get a black label. You're just not going to do it. It's hard. It's extremely hard. If you're the gambler and you want to gamble, I think BGS is the way to go. So, because if you get a black label, now you have a pop, you know, one or two of that particular card, even though if there's thousands of them made, they're not going to hand out many black labels. So if you like to gamble, BGS is probably the way to go. If you like to be consistent, PSA. So, but, and maybe there's not a lot of people sending stuff into PSA, and there's more BGS on the market. So the PSA, I mean, and that may balance out in a couple years.
Well, I mean, also let's talk about the turnover time as well. I think PSA does a better job about turning over the grades and getting them in your hands a little bit faster without paying like a ridiculous amount of money.
Yep. Well, and Busta brought up a point, said just go crack some BGS 9.5 Lucas and submit them and flip them. Boom, moneymaker, right? And I got a good point because that's what I did, but I didn't do it with Lucas. So in the next slide, I have these two. Well, me and Dan, these are my – oh, this slide didn't load.
Huh. And the show's over.
I know. What the heck?
This is the first time I've seen that.
That's the first time I've seen that during the show too. Come on, Google. What's up? I'm going to go down to Mountain View right now.
It's even blank in the –
try it. Try going to
Mountain. Oh, yeah. It's not showing it on mine either.
Try going to Mountain View. Tell them your Google, anyways, slides don't work.
I will describe what's going down. So I have a 9 – we have a 9.5 LeBron James.
King James.
Chrome refractor 0304. 9.5. We also have a black refractor. 9. So what you can do with PSA is I was like, I don't want to have to crack it out because that's, you know, that's a lot of money in those cards. What if I ding it? So what you can do is you can go on PSA – and you can actually submit a crossover. And shout out to Rich Layton for letting me know about this. Anyways, I didn't know. You can submit it and you can hit crossover. You don't have to crack it out of the slab. And you could put min grade on there. So what you do, so I'm sending in my 9.5 BGS refractor. And I put min grade 10. So if I don't get a 10, I'm assuming they send it back. Same thing with the black. I put min grade 9 on the black. So I want the same grade PSA because PSA goes more on the black refractor. So they'll crack it out. They'll take the risk. No.
Woo.
So, you know, there is, I don't want to tell people that there's money to be made in flipping it right now, but if you're looking at an $800 swing on a card, you could buy it and then do this and make a little bit of money. I don't know. There might be an opportunity there.
Hey, don't you think you're kind of, so the grader from BGS when they, or from PSA, when they receive your BGS slab and it's already essentially done for them, don't you think that they may be like, 9.
Right.
10. Not even looking at it.
Well, what we were...
because it's already been done.
Well, but what I want to know is the fact that do they have some competitive balance in them that they don't want to send me my two LeBrons back. They may send me one of them back in the BGS slab, but isn't it in their best interest to re-slab that? You know, and I'm not asking for a grade that's out of the realm, right? So... wouldn't they want to get a PSA on the market to show people, hey, these PSAs are valuable?
Well, you I understand why you do the ask, like the minimum grade. But at that point, it's almost like, can you do this? And they're like, no, we can't. Sorry.
Right.
Or, yeah, we can. Or do they look and go, let's see who this person is, and let's see, maybe this might be a moneymaker for us. If we do this one time for them, maybe we can get an influx of cards. And
right.
Essentially, they're going to send in all their BGS stuff that's already been looked over
right.
and graded, and we can just re-slab it and charge them who knows how much.
Right.
I mean, whatever you paid per card.
Whatever you pay per card, yeah, there's different levels of service. It's all available on their website, but... I mean, if you do the math and you could get a, you know, LeBron for 1,200 BGS and it sells for 2,000 PSA and it costs you $50 to cross it over, you know what I mean? You're probably not guaranteed every time, but if you do that a couple times, it might be a little side hustle, you know what I'm saying? And have you tried closing everything and restarting the slides?
Yep.
It's just broken, huh? Because mm-hmm. It's showing on my end. Weird.
Just says loading, right?
What if I close mine? I don't think that'll make a difference, but there you go. Maybe. Technical difficulties. All right.
It like stops right there, huh?
That's weird. Anyway, go past that throw up one so that and see if it shows. Just maybe, maybe not even. There you go. So, there was a couple different cards on eBay that literally made me throw up in my mouth, and I could not believe a company. They're not really a company. They're a buyback company that they made, but they have been making some cards.
Doing this, huh?
There's a couple Super Break, and I don't know when this was made, and I'll describe it best for you podcast listeners. So it's out of Super Break the Bar, and it's a cut auto of Chris Davis.
Christopher
Davis. I'll just let this sink in for you guys watching this on YouTube. So he took a Stadium Club card and cut it where the auto is, put it in the card, and then he took a Topps Chrome actual card and put that in the card as well and made a one-of-one and called it a Legends, and it's the absolutely most disgusting-looking card I've ever seen in my life. I cannot fathom how anybody in that company would think that this would be a good idea. And I don't know why Dan's walking away. Is that what Dan's going to try to make one right now, maybe?
Well, it's just...
I mean, it is... And then you can go to the next one. That wasn't the only one. It wasn't even in the only one. For one, Chris Davis's auto probably doesn't go for 30. So he took a sticker auto on a Donruss card of Jock Peterson and then it cut that. And he cut it, like, let me describe this to you guys in the chat. He cut it, like, 2.5 inches by 3, right? So he cut the bottom half of the card where the auto was and made that a cut autograph. And then he used a Bowman card and called it I don't even know how to describe this just disgusting idea,
like,
of a card.
Just do that?
Super Break, you suck. No cap.
Yeah, just Jamal that, Adams, right?
I mean, I just came up with that design right now.
Yeah, just cut it out and put it on a card.
Like,
I just don't get it. I don't get how guys can continue to support this guy's products. If this is what he's putting out there, I don't know the price point of the product. I hope it was $5 a pack, you know? And the last one's an Aaron Judge, I believe. And he cut an Inception card. And then he used an actual Inception base card.
Why didn't he just buy... Like the Inception card that he cut in half.
Yeah, just stop buying Super
Break. Why didn't he just, like, put the full card in there? It's still the same thing. Except he didn't. That he ruined a base card and an auto.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there was some of them. I was watching a break yesterday, and you were watching it as well. And some of the stuff I was seeing, it. I guess one slab does fit all, you know.
Yeah.
There was a cut that was out of a newspaper that was probably what, like an inch big.
Yeah.
But the actual cutout to put it in was the full size of the slab, so it was like that big of an area for the cut. Then the cut was like that big. I mean, I'm not good at graphic design. Not my thing. But I would know if something looks like shit. Like that right there?
Yeah.
Bush League.
Yeah. Wouldn't you just do buybacks? Wouldn't you just be like, cool?
Just
do a buyback.
Sometimes when you try to think out of the box, it doesn't always work.
Yeah, you do fun and exciting things.
Go back in the box. Do buyback like everybody else.
You know, he must be down to just being one man at his company now, because there's no way anybody else would approve of that, right? There'd be no way I put that on the table for you guys and be like, this is my new idea for the product. They're like, yeah, do it.
So it's kind of like...
Unless that Aaron Judge card was damaged and he got it for like a dollar.
I'm going to do a little, and you'll understand the analogy. So it's like when Metallica went in to record Saint Anger.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Rock just getting paid a crap ton of money, actually playing bass on the album.
Okay.
So he's at that point, he's a yes man. So, you know, they went back with the scratch tracks and they're like, what do you think? And he's like, well, I'm getting paid a shit ton of money. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm playing bass. So I love it. That's basically what's going on here. Like, he has nobody to answer to. So he's like, I can make money on this. I love it. It's great. It's a great design.
Nothing screams more like how much more money he's making than what he's doing.
You know,
I think.
I just compared Super Break to Metallica.
Wow,
so
that's a compliment.
Yeah, that's not exactly what I was going for. But
you take that back.
Well, and there was another one I watched. It was
they are the Metallica of manufacturers.
Whoa! Wow, that's a full 180 on that one. There was a cut auto of Roy Jones, and it was in an 8x10 slab, and it was an autographed relic, he claimed, and the relic was from a flyer from his fight. It was a piece of paper that he called a relic, but anyways, I'm done.
No,
I'm
it
done
was that. It was a piece of flyer.
That's what I said, a piece of flyer.
Like a flyer that if you would go into...
Somebody would hand it out to you.
You'd go out to a bar, and you know how they had the posters up there? They're like, oh, we're going to have this fight here at the bar. It was, like, off one of those.
Yes.
Oh, it's like you go to a bar, and you're like, hey, man, can I take that flyer off your wall? I'm going to go make some cards.
I know, seriously. But anyways, enough about that. We'll move on to the next slide. So we want to talk about, and we're running out of time, so we'll make this quick, but the last 5 years of NFL quarterbacks, and I wanted to talk about the first two that are drafted and just what they are now, what their potential is. And it's kind of staggering to just see how much failure there is between the first two quarterbacks drafted every year. So we'll start with 2015. The first two quarterbacks taken were Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. Obviously, Mariota's not even playing anymore. Jameis Winston's had a pretty... you know, up and down type of career. Hasn't really ever made, I don't think that he's ever made a playoff game.
Is that $10 or best offer? No, that's $10 starting bid.
Starting bid, so not even a bid on that one.
Well, I mean, there is 8 days left.
2016 got a little bit better. You got the first two quarterbacks taken were Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. You know, Carson Wentz has gotten hurt a lot. Jared Goff lost the Super Bowl.
Got there.
Didn't get a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Hey, man, nothing wrong with silver.
And then 17, you know, you had, obviously, Mitch Trubisky, which was taken first, not first overall, but first quarterback taken, and you had Patrick Mahomes. So there's your big bust, or your big boom there is Patrick Mahomes, right? That's crazy money right now. You're looking at those prices.
Dude, don't call Trubisky a bust yet.
Trubisky,
you can't call him a bust yet.
So, and then you go into 18, and you have Baker and Darnold, right? So you got Baker and Darnold.
Baker you can call a bust.
And then you have this year, you have Danny Dimes and Kyler Murray. So take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation. Which quarterback would you invest in out of the last 5 years? We got to vote for Kyler back there.
At this very moment, which one you would invest in?
Yes.
Yeah, because you also got to think at the Mahomes prices are ridiculous. So have we already hit the ceiling?
Right. Yeah, you can't he's in a league of his own.
Yeah, so I mean, if you had that type of money, do you see any ROI on investing into Patrick Mahomes right now? That would be tough. But I'd go Kyler. I like that one because he's still, I think he's undervalued right now.
Yeah.
I think he's undervalued in the sports card market, not in the NFL. I think the NFL is doing a pretty good job of marketing him.
Yeah.
But I think he's undervalued in the hobby. So I would invest money into Kyler Murray.
You know, and it's funny. I can't really dispute that. I would go Kyler too, but it just kind of shows you where this hobby is that is the new booty still, right? So we're still on that new booty train. We don't know what his potential is. So we've seen enough of Trubisky, and I'm sorry, Derek, but we've seen enough of Trubisky, it seems like. I mean, Trubisky could be an investment at this point because his prices are pretty low. If he does have a bounce back year, he does play for a big market team. So, but right now, it just looks like an absolute dumpster fire. You know, and like you said, Mahomes' prices are high. You know, Goff and Wentz, I feel like if it's already, the hype has already passed them, they'd have to do something like just crazy to get their prices up. So I think I would go Kyler. Daniel Jones, I hear what you guys are saying about him playing for New York. You know, that's a good thing, but that also could be a very bad thing at the same time because the New York media could get him out of there real quick. Kyler Murray could have a couple years of subpar performance, where I think Daniel Jones would have a couple years of subpar performance, he'd get the hell out of there. So, see, right? Any perspective on this?
Can we go to 2014?
little DC. Oh, they got Jimmy G in that year too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at this point, because we have so much data on those other guys, and Patty Mahomes don't really count unless you really think he's gonna be like a next Tom Brady type. You either you have to pick either Daniel Jones or Kyler right now, right? That'd be the.
I mean, if you believe in Baker, you can get Baker at less than what he was going for last year.
Good point. Yeah, he's about. I mean, go to that picture.
It's ironic. He got basically the best receiver in the league, and he's not having his year.
I'm not so sure it's on. Absolutely, I think Freddie Kitchens is just another. Deplorable.
I don't know. I don't know about him. I know the Bears. I don't know if the Bears need to get a new coach. They need a new offensive scheme, and Trubisky needs that like safety valve receiver. The receiver that goes over the middle who's always open, the Cooper Kupps, or maybe like a George Kittle, like a tight end that he can always rely on. And I think a lot of these teams, I think that's where they struggle. Even the Browns, I mean, on the outside they have Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have anybody who's, you know, prolonging drives, getting those 8-yard receptions for first downs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And but yeah, back to the Baker Mayfield. His price is that card was $1,700, so it's now $600. So there could be still people that have hope for him. And once he does start playing well, it might jump back up. Now Derek in the chat says you got to mention Lamar and Deshaun Watson. And you know, and the reason I did, I just wanted to have the first two quarterbacks taken.
We can obviously dive deeper into these draft classes, but yeah, I think we're just talking about the top two, right?
But Watson probably should have been drafted by the Bears. Let's face that. You know, he probably would have gotten some more wins than Trubisky has. I'm not going to say he's going to be as good as he was on the Texans, but I mean, with the coaching scheme there in Chicago. And then Lamar, if we would have circled back last year, let's go back in time, and we probably even have it on the hype from last year. I don't think any of us would have picked Lamar. None of us would. None of us would have picked Lamar out of that class. And none of you guys in the chat would have picked Lamar out of that class.
I think our knock on Lamar Jackson was the fact that we all knew he could run, but nobody knew if he was going to be able to read a defense and pass the ball, and he's proven everybody wrong.
Yeah.
And now he's truly a dual threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible. And even we saw him at the rookie, the GTS sponsored event. And I remember telling you, like, he couldn't formulate answers when they were asking him things. He was joking a lot, but like when I walked away from that event, I'm like, dude, this guy's an absolute bust, just based on how he conducted himself during that GTS event. So it just goes to show you, some guys can be great without having to be, like, you know, personable with everybody. So I walked away from that thinking, man, this guy's an absolute bust. But if you look at the situations, you look at Lamar Jackson has Harbaugh is a proven winner, won a Super Bowl. You look at Patrick Mahomes, he's got Andy Reid. So you can't just be a phenomenal quarterback.
It's Andy Reid, but Andy Reid's
is a successful coach. You can't say he's not.
How many Super Bowl?
Hey, he gets the playoffs every year, though. May not win a Super Bowl. But I'm saying, you look at that. You look at the success of these quarterbacks, kind of depends on having a good play caller back there, kind of having the whole team around them buying in. When you got Freddie Kitchens out there for Baker Mayfield, the whole team's
but
not buying
I,
in.
It really depends on who's calling the offensive plays. Like Andy Reid, I think he is an offensive-minded coach.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of his background. Harbaugh isn't. He's defensive-minded coach.
But he's had success. He had Flacco win a Super Bowl. Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Flacco was on the team, but
right.
but was Flacco the driving force of that team winning the Super Bowl?
Not really, but he could sling the ball.
Could they have won that Super Bowl without Joe Flacco and say some other quarterback?
Well, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl too, so.
So maybe it's just in the water in Baltimore.
I mean, Baltimore is one of those teams where if you just ask somebody that hasn't watched football for a couple years of what the best defense
is. Like how about this? How about you have a healthy Alex Smith on that 2013 Baltimore team? They probably are in the same situation. They probably win that game.
Yeah. Alex Smith in the 2013 team?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. Who else is like a game manager compared to an Alex Smith? Like Jared Goff, right? Game manager?
Jared Goff is not a game manager. He throws too many interceptions to be considered a game manager.
Yeah, Alex Smith is the definition of a game manager.
Alex Smith is I mean, you look at his stats are good. He's a good ball player. Now, I don't think he's ever going to play again.
Right. Yeah. He's walking again. So, all right, we got a few more minutes before we got to get into hoops, the hoops random, which is sold out, guys. But we do have more hoops today, so you can check out the site. I wanted to just do a quick StockX update. So as we talked about StockX last week, the IPO has closed. People have received their cases, including myself. And there was some interesting info that they put out and about the bidding process. So the clearing price was $50 per box and $300 per case. Each format had over 2,200 bids, as confirmed by StockX. Earlier bids were prioritized. So if they had ties, it sounds like they gave it to the earlier bid. So that's something to interesting to know. 80% of the winners of the box paid less than their bid. 91% of the winners of the case paid less than their bid. So kind of interesting. There's also some interesting stuff in their terms and conditions that say that they kind of have a reserve, that they could kind of hold product back and stuff like that. I don't know if they did, but they have some language in their terms, which was transparent. It was out there. Just I didn't click on it.
Oh, Jason put in a bid at $350 and didn't win.
What's
up with that?
I would contact him, Jason.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day too. I'm thinking that they didn't have to go to that reserve thing this time for this product. You know, I would imagine their reserve is probably like something like $25 a box or something. If I just had to guess,
Who knows? It could have been $50 a box.
Yeah, who knows? But it does look like people are cashing in on eBay. I don't know. I'm seeing a couple boxes that have best offer, but this was $215 or best offer, and it was sold. So
For one box.
So I got to assume maybe 150, 175 boxes are going for, which is absolutely crazy. But
bruh,
I'm telling you, the demand is there. So that
No.
That $1,000 bid that I said isn't out of the realm because that's what people are paying now.
No. It's no. Dude, that's murder, dude. You're getting murdered.
You would, yeah, but people want.
Yeah, but no, you just admit. You're like, yeah, you're getting murdered.
If you open it.
No. There ain't.
Last week, you got to keep it sealed, dude.
You got to keep it sealed, man. You don't open it.
But there's crap in there.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
No, it's better unopened.
You don't know if there's crap.
Dude, I'm pretty sure.
StockX is Duke says StockX is shilling and chilling.
It's a PSA 9 slab turd.
Yeah, I've heard that too about their shoes. I've heard they've turned down authentic shoes too. It's probably a hard thing. It's kind of like, you know, it's probably hard game to get into. I'm not backing them up by any means.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't buy a box for $200. Don't buy a box for $150. Don't buy a box for $100. I wouldn't.
Should I open one right now?
No.
Should I open one? See what I get?
Stand up. Okay. Let me kick you in the junk. Okay, so if you don't pull a card that's worth $150, we all get a punch in the face. All right, here we go. Now, this is how... So, you're into this box for how much? $50?
$50.
All right, so this is how you turn $50 into 5 American dollars. Oh, yeah!
Williams a studio, yes!
And I'm correct. But you know what? It's a Gem Mint 10.
10.
Yeah.
Right.
Check that out, dude. Check that out.
It's a rookie
card. Pablo Sandoval.
I scored.
You didn't. You lost. Like everybody else will lose if they are to do that.
That's why you keep it sealed. Point proven. Who the hell is that?
He didn't get $12.
I don't think I got $12.
That's not $12.
That's why I keep it sealed. He has a womanly pear-shaped body. Me? No, I know. You're talking about Williams' studio. Well, there it is. StockX. Killed that box, man.
Yep. That's
C-Rad's just speechless over there.
Man, I don't like to say that I'm right. Well, I do, actually.
Hey, yo. Doug just did it for the gram right now.
I did it. I took one for the team. So keep it sealed, guys. We're going to see you on the next episode of The Hype. We got some
hoops. No, sell it. Like, sell it right now. Somebody's going to give you $200. You sell it. Yeah. Don't keep it sealed. Get rid of it. Go.
Sell it on eBay.
Sell it on eBay.
Keep it sealed forever.
Peace out, guys.